great Father God in heaven, we thank you. We thank you so much that you are our Savior. We thank you that you are God's Son. And we thank you, Lord, that we can praise you. We thank you that we can lift our voice in song to you and that we can give you praise and glory. Lord, we thank you so much that you came and you died for us. Lord, we just love you. Lord, we just ask this question, why, God, do you love us? Why, Lord, do you love us? We know what your scripture says, but still there's that burning question, why, God? Will you reveal to us today the answer? Why me? Why somebody like me? The scripture says that I am as filthy as rags. The scripture says that I am a useless person. The scripture says that I am nothing, but yet the Bible says that while I was still in sins, you came and died for me. Why me? Why me? I thank you, Lord, that you did. And I ask, Lord, that even in my shortcomings and in my failures, that you would continue to use me and strengthen me, and that you would be glorified in all that I do. That in no way and in no shape and no form will I ever be glorified for you, but that you would always be glorified through me. Because in me, I am complete through you. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you. May you hide me now behind you, and may you come fully out. May your words speak through me now. I thank you and I praise you in your great precious name. Amen. Well, as we've said, and as we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, we have been embarking upon the question, not so much, I guess, really a question, but it's been a question about God and who God is and what God has done for us and why has God done the things that he has done. And so we started out in the first Sunday of the year asking, or really making the statement, in the beginning. And with that statement of in the beginning, we looked at the concept of in the beginning of what God did. God created, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in that, God created all of the animals, the trees, the land, the earth, and all of the things. But most importantly, God created us. He formed us out of the ground, and he placed, first of all, Adam and then Eve, and he placed them in the garden. He gave them instructions and how to multiply the earth and what to do. And then Satan came along and deceived Eve, and Eve ate of the fruit. And we find that Satan was very good at deception. We find, though, that God created man for a relationship in the beginning. God desired a relationship, an intimate personal relationship with man in the beginning. And then the next thing that we embarked upon was knowing who God is, because in order to understand that relationship with God, you have to know who it is that you're going to have a relationship with. When you think about your own personal relationship. My son and his beautiful fiance, actually she's not a fiance anymore, it's his wife. You know, they were together so long. That's the illustration I was going to use. They were together so long, I forgot he was married. It's so nice to have them here this morning. And I'm surprised they even knew how to get up this early. And but it's nice. Don't point at her. Don't point at her, because I know you. And but it is nice to have them here this morning. And they're married, by the way. Finally, amen. Yay. And so is because of her. And so they're all married. All my kids are married. Hallelujah. And but they're almost married a year. Can you believe that? I know, it doesn't seem like that, right? It will be just 3-4 months, right? Or so. 4 months? Yeah, she's counting them already. See that? And she's already counting them. It's in 4 months. But anyway, their relationship, they had to know each other, right? When you're in a relationship, you got to learn things about one another. You learn all the crazy habits you have, and then in that process of learning things about one another, you make decisions. Do I really want to be in a relationship with this person? Right? And the longer you're in that relationship, the more dangerous it becomes, because the longer you're in that relationship, the more you have to decide, do I want to be with that person? This is why they tell you that if you're not in a relationship long enough, you ought not to get married, because if you're in a real short relationship, you don't know anything about the person. That's why I just married Sybil right away, because I figured if I knew too much about her, I wouldn't want to be with her, right? And in 30 years, I still didn't learn anything about her, and I still want to be with her, so it's all good. It's too late now, so it's all there. That's what we want to know about God. And so last week, we learned some things about God, who God is, and what God has done for us, and how God is our stronghold and our comforter and our protector, and how God has just done some amazing things for us. That's who God is. Because if we don't understand who God is, then we don't know why God is doing and wants a relationship with us. And that's important to know who God is. Yeah. And so then that, I think, really brings us to the question, then really ultimately, why does God love me? I mean, when you really think about why God created you to have a relationship with you and who God is, then the question that you ask yourself in your mind is, here is this ultimate righteous being, God, and here is you, a nobody. If God is a righteous being and you're a nobody, why would a righteous being want to be with a nobody? Well, let me put that in a different context for you. Think about when you were in high school. When you're the popular person, and then think about the person that's just the nobody. Did the popular person ever hang out with the nobody? Maybe you were the nobody. Did the popular person ever hang out with you? You wanted the popular person to hang out with you. Matter of fact, you probably wanted to be with the popular person. But the popular person in your mind didn't even know who you were. Well, I got news for you. Not only does God know who you are, but God loves you. And not only does God love you, but God sent His only begotten Son to die for you so that you could have a personal relationship with Him. Now, if you don't believe that, and I know that most of you probably already know this, but that's okay, because there may be one or two of you here that doesn't. Let's take a look at it in John chapter 3, verse 16. Jesus said these words. He was talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious man, a Pharisee, who came to Jesus, and talked to Jesus, and he wanted to be born again. And Jesus had this long conversation with Nicodemus. And in this conversation, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "For God loved the world in this way, he gave his only begotten Son." In the King James it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So how much did God love you? God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for you. He gave up the only son he had to pay a price that you were responsible to pay. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all fallen short. We've all fallen short. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to ask the question. Don't care. All I care about is if you had bought a lottery ticket and you won, that you paid your tithes to the church. And you better believe I'd have took every penny that you owed to the church. But if you'd have bought a Powerball when it was $1.5 billion and you won, and you were the sole winner, and after you paid all your taxes and you got all that money and you got your $550 million, you still could not have bought your way into heaven. You still would have fallen short of the glory of God. Matter of fact, I can tell you right now that if the government gets their way and they distributed all of the wealth of all of the wealthiest people in all of the world and they distributed it to all of the poor people so all the poor people became all the wealthy people, you still couldn't get your way into heaven. Because the Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is nothing you can do to get to heaven. So Jesus said to Nicodemus here, "For God so loved the world." Now I want you to understand something about this verse. Because some people will try to tell you that this verse here means when it says that for God so loved the world, that means that God loved a few people in the world. Now let me explain that to you. What that means is that some people want to say that for God so loved me and Connie and Harlan and Linda and Marietta and Peggy, but everybody beyond Peggy God didn't love, and so the rest of you are just too bad. If you sat in the front, you'd have been okay, but because you sat in the back, too bad, you lost. That's the way it is. You should have sat in the front because that's where the world is. The rest of you, you're going to hell. That isn't, that's not true. For God so loved the world, he loved everybody. For God loved everybody. He doesn't care. Listen. I'm going to come down here. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about where you are. He doesn't care about where you are. So many people want to think that, well, you know, preacher, before I can become a Christian, I've got to get better first. Really? Let me remind you of the verse, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I don't care how good you think you're going to get, you're still going to be short of the glory of God. So go ahead and get as good as you want. You're still short of the glory of God. You're still short of the glory of God. How good do you think you're going to get? You're still going to be short of the glory of God. God loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Well, I don't really quite believe that part. So, well, let's try another one. How about Romans 5:8? Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8 says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
While we were still sinners. Listen, that mentality that you have to get better, that you've got to get to a place where your life is going to get greater, that you're going to become a better person, that somehow you're going to do everything all right. It doesn't matter. Because while you were still a sinner, but God commendeth His love to you. That means that God poured out His love on you while you were still a sinner. And He died on the cross for you. I mean, you have to remember, Jesus Christ did this before you were even born. Before you were even born. Before Zachary was even born. Before little Megan was even born. Little Megan's not even out yet. And Christ died for her. Amen. Christ died for her sin. She's going to be born a sinner. Just like each and every one of us. But Christ died for her. And you and me. So that we could go to heaven. You know, we love John 3:16. And it's a great verse. Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But we fail, I think, sometimes to look beyond John 3:16, because the next verse said, for God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You know, when Jesus first came into the world, He did not come into the world to condemn the world. His purpose in His first advent, His first time in coming into earth, His first time in walking on the earth, was not to condemn the world. It wasn't even to judge the world. It was to save the world. But I got news for you. When He comes back the second time, it's a whole different world. It's in the sports realm, it's a whole different ball game when He comes back the second time. And if you haven't made that decision to say, Jesus, come into my heart, you're looking at a whole different thing. Because the second time He comes into the world, it will be to judge the world. But the first time He came, He said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Me might be saved.
Amen.
I came so that the world would be saved. Well, what's He talking about? How is the world going to be saved through Jesus? The world is going to be saved through Jesus because He is the light. He opens our eyes so that we can see everything that needs to be seen. See, before Jesus came along, everything was in darkness. And we like the darkness. Mostly. We like the darkness. Now, I see some heads shaking. No, we don't like the darkness. But in reality, we like the darkness. Now, why do we like the darkness? We like the darkness because in the darkness, we can hide things. Now, you may not like the darkness because you're scared of the dark. But the darkness allows you to hide things. You can hide things from people. You can hide things. That's the illustration that Jesus gives you here. Men do not like to come into the light because in the light you can see what is going on. But in the darkness, you can't see what's going on. And Jesus is the light that shines into the hearts of men and women and children and shows you what is going on in your life. This is why when you sit in the seat and you hear a message, you squirm around because you know that God is telling you the truth and you don't like it. Because the light is shining in your life, and you'd rather be in the darkness hiding from what you hear and see. That's the Spirit working on you, telling you what you need to hear, and you'd rather not hear that. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, I'm not coming to condemn you, you're condemning yourself. Men do not want to be condemned. They would rather hide in the darkness than in the light. See, God loves you so much that He wanted you to come out into the light so that you could see what the problem is. What the problem is. I came home one day. It's been a while back. And Sybil said, hey, the sink's leaking. And she goes, it's leaking under the sink. I didn't know why it was leaking. And she goes, there's water running across the floor. And I was like, And so, you know, the only way you can find out where it's leaking is to turn on the faucet. And that worked out well, but you know, the problem with under the sink is it's dark. And you know, even when you open the cabinet doors, it's still dark under the sink. And you know, the only way, even though you're running water there, the only way to actually see the problem is to shine light into the darkness. You know, the water is like sin. That sin is running. It's running out. And eventually that sin came out of the cabinet and it ran onto the floor, and I could see the sin coming out of the cabinet, and I knew it was coming out of there, but I had no idea where it was coming out from, other than it came out of the cabinet, until I shined the light into the area. And that's Jesus coming into your life. He's opening the door and He's shining the light of His light into your life so that you can see the sin that's in your life. You know you have it. You're just not quite sure where it is. And that's what He's saying in this passage of Scripture right here in verses 18 and 19. In 20, when He says right here, anyone who believes in Him is not condemned. But anyone who does not believe in Him already is condemned, because he does not believe in the name of the only Son of God. This then is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. You hear that? The reason that we do not want Jesus in our life is because we do not want our evil deeds exposed. God loves you. He loves you. He died for you. He brought the light into the world for you. Amen. He brought the biggest, powerfulest flashlight you've ever seen in your life. He is the only way to bridge that gap that is from I have fallen short of the glory of God to eternal life. Because that's where you stand. You stand on this side of I've fallen short of the glory of God, and God is over there. And you have no way to cross that gap. There's no way for you to get across this gap without Jesus Christ. And He has given you the means for that. And that is that love of Christ, that love of Jesus as He's come down from heaven and He says, I love you. And you're saying to yourself, why me? Why me? Why me? Why me? Because He loves every creature that He has created. I said 2 weeks ago, and I'll tell you again, God created you from the dust of the ground with His hands. He formed you out of the dust of the ground. He breathed His very life into you. That's amazing. Think about the words that God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1. Before you were barely formed in your womb, I knew who you were. I had thoughts for you. I knew what you were going to do. That's a great God. That's a God who knows everything about you. And a God that knows all of those things about you is a God that loves you. And that's a God that says, I want you. And I desire you. And that's a God that says, I love you. And when you ask that question, why me? I think it's answered very easily when you understand the scope. When you understand that scope of while you're still in your sins, Christ died for you. But anyone, in verse 21, anyone who lives by the truth comes to light, so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. If you really want to know what God is going to do in your life, if you really want to know why God loves you, then you've got to come into the light. Well, but Pastor, you just don't get it. If I come into the light, then all of these things that are going on in my life will come out into the open. So what? What is more important? Your relationship with God or your relationship with the devil? And I know most of us are sitting there thinking, well, this is a great message, great evangelistic message. It's a message for non-believers, but I want you to understand, for many of us, we're thinking the same thing, because as Christians, we've wondered, why did God select us? Why has God chosen us to be believers? Why has God chosen me to serve Him? I've already accepted Him, and so I didn't really need to hear this message because I'm already a Christian. But here's the real question for those of us that have already accepted Christ. Have you yourself come out into the light? Because even as believers, we have a tendency to hide in the darkness. We're not fully serving God. We're not fully committed to doing what God wants us to do. We're not fully in the light, as we just seen in the last verse, accomplishing what God has asked us to do for Him. And so I would encourage you to come into the light. I would ask you to come and say, God, today I want to be one who is going to serve you to the fullest of my abilities. And whatever it takes, I'm going to come out into the light to be bold for you today. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ at all. You've never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. You've never asked Him into your heart, and you've always had that question burning in your soul, saying, why me? Why me? There's no other way to heaven but by Jesus. He gave you a free gift in Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross. The Bible lets us know that we need to confess Him before men, confess Him with our mouth, and believe Him in our heart. The Bible says that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So maybe you've never asked Christ into your heart. Or maybe you've been one of these kind of people. Listen, and I know, as a youth pastor, I've seen lots of people who have flooded the altar because they have just come with their friends. But they have never truly accepted Christ, and they walk around still in the darkness. They thought they have asked Christ into their heart, but they never have. And maybe you're one of those people who have always sat on the fringes, and you just wondered why. But maybe today, now you know why you've always been on the fringe, because you've never truly asked Christ into your heart. We had a great conversation this morning in Sunday school. I asked a question. I was hoping to give a better understanding, and I got a great lesson from the Sunday school class. They turned the whole question on the head. That was nice of them. I appreciate that. But they were right. You know, none of us know when our time is. Whether we have 5 years or 55 or 95. We like to think that because we're young, we have all kinds of time. I want to encourage you to not think that way at all. And I want to challenge you right now that if you've not asked Christ to come into your heart, that you don't delay that decision. God made a way for you to have an eternal relationship with Him. And if He's impressing upon you to make that commitment today, then do not delay in making that decision. Believers, if Christ is impressing upon you, if the Spirit is impressing upon you to make a commitment to follow Him and to serve Him and to be obedient to Him, then you too should not delay in making that decision. Because the delaying in making that decision to be obedient to Christ is being sinful, just as much as being delaying in coming to know Him is. I want to encourage you to come, to put Christ in your heart, to be putting Christ first and foremost in your life today. Because God does truly love you. He came for you. He died for you. He created you to have a relationship with Him. You're asking that question, why me? The reason for why me is because God created you specifically for a relationship with Him. It's not evolution. It's not evolution. You weren't created because of a monkey. Some of you act like monkeys, but that's not why. God created you out of His own hands from the dust of the ground, and He breathed life into you to have a relationship with you. Do you want that relationship with Him? Do you want that relationship with Him? Our great Father God in heaven, as your Spirit is working right now, will we listen to it and respond?
where we come. Where we come. Where we listen to the Savior call. Where we come. Thank you, Lord, that you did come and you died on the cross for us. Lord, will you come? You speak hard. Will you overcome the fear? Will you overcome the pride? Will you overcome all of the other issues in our life? Will you come and will you speak to us this morning? Will you bring us to this place of brokenness this morning? We'll fall on our face before you. And our life will be changed before you this morning because you came and chose us and loved us. Thank you, Lord. And we praise you. In your precious name. Amen. Please stand as we sing 288. You come. God's speaking to you about salvation this morning. Maybe you don't know Christ. You come. As we sing. Maybe God's speaking to you about something you need to do within your life this morning. You come. Maybe God's asking you to join this assembly. You come. Whatever God's speaking to you, as we sing this morning, you come this morning. You come.